Good morning, and thank you for joining us. It's been a busy morning. We got a lot of different things going on. It seems like we're following stories that have been breaking news, of course. Air Canada following that right off the start. We had a couple of guests on the show. We are hearing from Air Canada today that they are starting the gradual slowdown, if not shutdown, of a number of flights as a result of the flight attendant strike that is going on. In the middle of their news conference this morning, a number of protesters, supporters for the union, showed up and, I don't know if you call it disrupted or at least infiltrated the news conference to the point that it had to be shut down. So it shows you the tension that is there in this labor dispute for sure. I'm guessing the chance of it being resolved by the weekend, not good, which means there will be a stoppage of certain Air Canada flights. Some of the smaller, like the Jazz flights, those will be fine because the flight attendants work for a different union. They're not affected, but it's some of the longer haul, especially international flights from Air Canada, absolutely will be affected by this. So we're following that. Pierre Poilievre was in the province, is still in the province. He held a news conference this morning at Cormant Park talking about the electric vehicle mandate and the need for Ottawa to basically move from that policy point and directly tying that, of course, to the Chinese canola tariffs that we see also come into effect today. So lots happening. Our newsroom continues to follow this. I mentioned that we are working to get Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservatives, on the show tomorrow. It is my hope that we will be successful in doing that as well, but we'll keep you posted there. I popped into a store just last night, had a couple of things to pick up, and I noticed there was a lady in front of me in the till line, had glue, scissors, crayons, you name it. She had it, clearly doing some back-to-school shopping. It's that time of the year, believe it or not. It's mid-August, which means back-to-school is a couple of weeks away. This could be a stressful time for households. It's not cheap getting all of the things that your kids need for back-to-school. In fact, it's impossible for some families to do it. And that's where our friends at the Salvation Army, who I am always appreciative of the work that they do in our province. They are selfless in their giving, in their charitable work, and it helps people in our communities in so many ways. They put together, and this has been going for a while, this Backpack for Kids campaign. It actually happens in a couple of spots in the province. Today, we're joined by Tim Fraser, who is a lieutenant and the Corps officer for the Salvation Army in Regina, and we'll talk a little bit about this campaign. Tim, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Evan. Appreciate the opportunity.
Let's talk about Backpacks for Kids. I mean, it's probably pretty self-explanatory, but tell me the campaign.
So our Backpack for Kids program is a program that ensures children in our community start to school ready, equipped, ready for success, that they don't have to worry about what they need, what they don't have. It just allows them just that pressure, a relief of pressure. And so, yeah, we just make sure that those families are prepared and just ease that burden off of them.
So you put together backpacks. What goes into the backpack? And I'm guessing the backpacks themselves are new, are part of what is delivered.
Absolutely. So we purchase brand new backpacks, and each backpack is filled with age and grade appropriate school supplies. So we work with different schools across the city, work at their lists, look at see what the essentials are, and then put together exactly what needs to go into the backpack so that families at least are starting off with the essentials to go back to school.
And I mentioned this campaign is happening in Saskatoon as well. This is a great provincial campaign. Do you know how it started? Was there a recognition of the need? Was it through the schools that we heard some kids were showing up less prepared than others?
So the South Shore has been doing this for many, many years. And these programs often start by recognizing a need, right? So whether that's by word of mouth, whether that's hearing from schools, we always see families struggling. And this is the kind of where we step in and recognize a gap and where we can help. So this is just one small thing that we can do just to kind of help those families.
You know, it's one thing to put, you know, pencil crayons in the hand of a student, scissors, notebooks, those types of things. But you have to think, Tim, this is bigger than that. This is that shoulders back, sense of pride, going to school, first day of school, brand new backpack on your back. We all, whether we remember those days for ourselves or for our children, it's psychologically, this is an important thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we deal with families who are struggling with poverty every day, and this is just one thing that we can kind of help boost their confidence, make sure that they're ready for school. For the families that we serve, these backpacks represent hope, represent dignity, and just an equal start for their children.
Tim Fraser is my guest, lieutenant with the Salvation Army in Regina. He's the Corps officer there, talking about the Backpacks for Kids campaign, which is happening in Regina. It's happening in Saskatoon as well. Is this all donation-based? Is it through financial donations? Do you purchase these things? Are you asking people to drop off school supplies? How does that work?
So the majority of how we supply these backpacks is community-funded. Right, so our main focus is financial donations. Because we set a set number of kids that we guarantee to register for, we have to ensure that we have the supplies ready to fill those backpacks. So we place our order well in advance to make sure that everything is here, ready to fill. We do ask for donations of school supplies if people want to host a school drive. We'll gladly take those because that just allows us to help that many more families.
Mm-hmm. What's the best way to connect with you, whether it be through wanting to give a donation, wanting to find out more details? Maybe someone's organizing this drive in their neighborhood, on their block, and they want to give the items to you. What's the best way to do that, Tim?
So the best way is just to visit our website, that's salvationarmyregina.ca. Or you can give us a shout. You can reach us at 306-757-4600. Or even stop by our office. We're at 2240 13th Avenue, mm-hmm. and we'll have a quick chat.
Do you have the families that are the recipients of these? Do they have to register, Tim?
Yeah, so they've already pre-registered. We've got over 500 families registered, which represents 1,217 children.
Wow.
But we also have over 300 on a wait list.
Wait lists are never good when we're talking about things like this. And this is just one. I am a big fan and supporter of the Salvation Army in our province. We have multiple different Salvation Armies in different communities doing incredible work. I saw it throughout my policing career, continue to see it today. And you guys are involved in a program, like a Saturday night program, serving meals. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Saturday night, we take our emergency disaster services truck out into the community, and we serve everyone from someone who's living on the streets to a family who is struggling to support their family. Mm. So we see upwards up to 200 meals served on any given Saturday, representing everything from a family with kids to a single individual and someone who's just trying to make it by.
It's impressive work the Sally Ann does. Do you have enough volunteers, Tim?
We're always looking for volunteers. That's kind of one of our biggest challenges is trying to find volunteers because we understand not everyone has the means to give financially, so they want to give in a tangible way, and so volunteering is an opportunity to do that. So we're always looking for volunteers, and we encourage those that are interested to reach out to us.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help. Volunteering in and of itself is very rewarding work, but the type of work that you organize through the Salvation Army, boy, there's a real sense of pride, I'm guessing, amongst the people that are part of your team.
Yeah, absolutely. We hear from volunteers every day how much they appreciate just the opportunity just to serve in a different way and just be able to make a change and an impact in the lives of those we serve.
Good stuff. Tim, I appreciate you joining the show. Thanks for popping by this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much, Evan. I appreciate it.
Tim Fraser, a lieutenant with the Salvation Army in Regina. Now, I mentioned they are doing this Backpacks for Kids campaign. I know Saskatoon is doing it as well. The Salvation Army across our province continues to do great work. We see it at different times of the year. Obviously, they're quite prevalent around Christmas time. We see the Christmas Kettle campaign, raising money, putting together food hampers and packages for those less fortunate in our communities. movies. But as you heard Tim say, I mean, this is an every week thing. They're out, as an example, their Saturday night program, serving meals in North Central Regina. And they're just one of the Salvation Army branches in our province. So thanks to not only the organization, the Salvation Army organization, but all of those who give your time and volunteer for this important work. Backpacks for Kids. Great cause. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Tuning into the show, Evan Bray, great to have you here. I mentioned, and we've been following Pierre Poilievre in our province for a while anyway, had a news conference this morning in Cormant Park talking about the EV mandate that Ottawa has put in place and basically calling on the federal government to step away from that, illustrating some of the harms that could come from it, and of course drawing a parallel to the Chinese canola tariffs that we are dealing with that effectively have come into place today. We are working to see if we can get Pierre Poilievre on the program tomorrow morning. It is our hope that we'll be able to get him to join us on the show, so we're working on that. We'll keep you posted there. Speaking of guests, I don't know if you caught the Green Zone yesterday. Jamie and Locker secured a chat with Bo Levi Mitchell, of course, the quarterback for the Hamilton Ticats, who are in the province on Saturday taking on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Bo Levi Mitchell and Trevor Harris, the two quarterbacks in that game, are really the two big quarterbacks to watch, at least right now in the league. Some people are going as far as to say this may be a preview of the Grey Cup. Remember, Daryl Davis on Monday was on this program and said those exact words. During the conversation with Jamie and Locker yesterday, Bo Levi was actually quite complimentary of Saskatchewan people. At least he finds us funny.
Okay, of course, one of the biggest names in Regina, of course, when it comes to athletes, just so happens to be a former neighbor of yours in Benny Hebert. Did he shovel your walk at all? Like, was he a good neighbor, or was it the other way around, where if he was on vacation during the winter, you'd pull out the shovel and help him out?
I wouldn't say we were never close enough neighbors, you know, just in distance to be able to shovel each other's driveways. But, I mean, what a great dude. Obviously, I always say this. The people that I've met that were raised in Saskatchewan are probably some of the funniest people I've ever met. You know, just I don't know what it is about growing up in that area, but it seems like, you know, Brett Jones, the center, you know, plenty of people, but Benny Hebert is probably one of the funniest guys I've ever met, and it just seems like all these people I meet from Regina, from Sask, just have a great sense of humor, and he's definitely one of the tops.
There's no question that the Hamilton Ticats have their sights set on winning the game. In fact, it's been on social media how much they want to win in Sask.
After last week in your post game, you said, we want Sask. That's who's next. You kind of, is there an extra, you know, fire, so to speak? I know everybody, the cliche is 1-0 this week, 1-0 this week. It doesn't matter. Any given day, anybody can beat anybody. But when it's 7-1, top team in the West, top team in the East, is there an extra feeling about this game on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you play in Saskatchewan, you know, it's so fun to play in that stadium in front of fans that care about this game. They're passionate about the CFL game. They're passionate about their team. You know, when your team's playing well, too, is, you know, Sask, the fans show up. They're loud. They're proud. And I've always said it's probably, you know, one of, if not my favorite stadiums to play in, you know, in the CFL because of that exact reason. It's fun to go when you're on a away team, you know, go silence the crowd, trying to make great plays. That always adds a little bit extra to the game. But it just feels like a professional game. It feels like you're, you know, playing up to the level you're supposed to when you're in that stadium and everybody's out there and it's pumping. So, you know, when you're playing a 7-1 team first place, it's a measuring stick, right? You want to go out there and measure yourself against the best. You know, we're not judging ourselves on, you know, each team and how many points we win by. We're not, like you said, we're just trying to go 1-0. But, you know, when you're playing the team that's got the best record currently at the moment, you know, only being halfway through the season, albeit, but you're always going to judge yourself on that.
When I have Belton Johnson on tomorrow, I'll be asking him what are the keys to success going to be for the Riders. Similar discussion happened with Bo Levi Mitchell yesterday on the Green Zone.
Bo, we've got two of the best teams in the CFL meeting this weekend here in Regina, and I'm wondering what you think the keys to the success for the Hamilton Ticats will be if you're going to get a win over the Riders.
I mean, you look back at our last couple of games, I'd say no self-inflicted wounds. You know, the one we had here last year, you know, at home early in the season was a game we, you know, probably should have and could have won. But, you know, how many times can you say that about any CFL game? You know, just I think when you look back, just plays that you do to yourself, and that's what, you know, separates good teams and great teams is, you know, if you have the talent, if you have your team healthy, as long as you're not shooting yourself in the foot, you can go out and win a lot of ball games. So getting success is definitely going to be just, you know, playing our game, make sure that we're making our plays. You know, it'll be tough. Obviously, we've got, you know, guys battling stuff. So we'll see how that plays out and just go out there and, you know, give everything we have.
That was a great discussion on the Green Zone yesterday with Jamie and Locker. You can check out the whole interview with Bo Levi Mitchell on our website, cjme.com or ckom.com. And that Rider game, 1 o'clock Saturday at Mosaic Stadium, 7-1 Riders taking on the 6-3 Hamilton Ticats. Who comes out on top? Well, you could weigh in on that tomorrow. Green and White Prognostications is back at noon. Call in, let us know who's going to win the game. What will the score be? We combine the scores the closest to with the right team winning. Gets your name entered for that end of the season cash prize jackpot. Green and White Progs tomorrow at noon here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.